I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.
Now I'm going to show you a video clip, so watch carefully. Dan, you know, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. And if you haven't seen the film or read the book, let me tell you a little bit about how the story of The Hobbit all begins. So Bilbo Baggins lives in a quiet and peaceful village. He's got a beautiful and a well-kept house, and he wants to stay well clear of any sort of adventure. Not interested in adventure at all. Okay, but one day a band of dwarves start knocking on his door, and they invite themselves in, and they eat all his food, and they make a big mess of his beautiful house. And then a little bit later, a wizard called Gandalf arrives, and he explains everything. He says that this surprise meeting at Bilbo's house was really important. These dwarves have had their homes destroyed, and there's a dragon who's stolen all their treasure. So actually, this surprise meeting at Bilbo's house is the beginning of a supersized mission. These dwarves are going to go back to their homes. They're going to reclaim what belongs to them. And Gandalf says, Little Bilbo, you've got to go too. You're a key part of this mission. You're going to help them rescue what's theirs. And so the beginning of The Hobbit starts with a surprise meeting all about a supersized mission. And we're looking at a little passage in Exodus this morning that's not too different. We're in the middle of a surprise meeting. And this meeting is all about another supersized mission, an even bigger supersized mission. So Kat read to us from Exodus chapter 3. And at this point, Moses is living in the desert. So picture Moses in the desert in your mind. He spends all of his time looking after sheep. And he, too, isn't expecting any adventure whatsoever. But one day there's a surprise meeting. God himself turns up, and he comes in the form of a burning bush. Now, this morning, I brought with me one match. Dan, do you want to hold that? And I brought with me a bush from my garden. Kat, do you want to hold that? Ready, Dan? I was keen to set it on fire, but when I came in, Jim said, definitely not allowed, as the health and safety not allowed. The smoke would go up, the fire alarms would be set off, we'd all have to charge out, and we'd probably never be allowed in again. So maybe another time when we've got our own building, I'll set fire to something. But have a think, what would happen if I was to set those twigs in my garden on fire? What would happen? What would happen to them? Millie? They'd say it again. They would burn my grass. If the bush was still in my garden, the grass may get burned. Yeah. What would happen after a few minutes after they've been on fire? What would be left? Meg? we'd have a pile of ash. You see, we know that fire destroys a bush. It would leave a pile of ash. But this surprise meeting where God turns up to Moses and he comes in flames of fire to a bush, what is amazing is that the bush doesn't get burnt. It stays as it is. So later, once God has left, and you were to see that bush, nothing would have happened to it. There would be no scorch marks, no pile of ash. And the reason for that is that God is powerful. In fact, as we read through Exodus, what we discover about God is that he has got power over everything. He can turn rivers into blood, and he can form gnats out of the dust on the ground. He can order frogs and locusts to invade a country. He can blow with the breath out of his nostrils, it says, and he can part the oceans of the sea. He can create walls of water. And so this God of this meeting is amazingly powerful. And then in the middle of this surprise meeting, God tells Moses about the supersized mission. And this is the first verse that Kat read to us. It said this, in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 10. "So now go." This is God speaking to Moses. "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God has chosen Moses to go and rescue his people from a wicked king, a king who's got them trapped in slavery. How do you think Moses responds at that point? Moses' response is to be utterly terrified. He's scared stiff. He's full of fear. And in fact, over the next chapters, if you read them in Exodus, he makes all sorts of excuses. He comes up with all sorts of reasons why God shouldn't send him. And each time Moses makes an excuse, God gives him a response. And God tells him a little bit more about himself. And so this morning, in these five verses, we're going to look at two amazing truths that God tells Moses about himself. And here's the first one. This is the first thing that God says in response to Moses. "I am completely committed." God says, "I am completely committed." God has seen the misery of the people. He's heard them crying out and he's concerned about them. In fact, in verse 10, God describes these people as my people. They belong to him. They're his possession. He treasures and cares for them. And then in verse 11, we get Moses and his first excuse. This is what Moses says. "Here's my excuse. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses says, "Hang on a second, God. You've made a mistake. Do you know who I am? I'm a failure. I'm a weakling. I'm a nobody. How can I stand before this powerful Pharaoh? I won't have any effect. I'm useless." And then in verse 12, this is God's response. He doesn't say, "It's okay, Moses. Remember, you were once a prince." God actually says, "I will be with you." Now, to help us with this, I need a couple of volunteers. Who doesn't volunteer very often? Ollie or Grace, do you want to help me out? No? Sure? Zeb? Why don't you come to the front? And Nehemiah, why don't you come? Right, now I've got a mission for you guys. Okay? You happy to do my mission? Now, on that chair, Zeb, why don't you just hold that black box as high as you can so all the adults at the back can see. Hold it as high as you can above your heads. Good man. There's a little black box on the chair down here. Okay, Zeb, why don't you put it back? Good man. Now, I'd like you to pretend that that is Egypt, that black box. Okay, so you can't move it ever again. You can't move countries, can you? So you've got to imagine that that black box is Egypt. And inside that black box, there's something very precious to me. Okay, something that belongs to me. Okay? Now, I'm going to send you guys on a mission. So I'd like you to have a go at opening that black box. Up for it? Go for it, guys. Can you open it? Five seconds. Okay, guys, come back to me. What's the problem, Zeb? You can't open it. Why can't you open it, Nehemiah? You need a key. The thing is, these guys don't have the power to open that box on their own. So if I send them on their own to open that box, there's no way they can get in. They could be there for ages, but you just don't have the power. But the thing is, because what's inside of that box actually belongs to me, and it's really precious to me, I'm going to come with you. Okay, so I'm going to commit to opening that box. And the thing is, I do have the power to open it. Yeah?
So I'll open it, and you can go see what's inside.
Okay, why don't you bring them over here? So Zeb has rescued what belongs to me and what is very, very precious. All of a sudden, all the children look interested. Okay, guys, why don't you take your seats? Let's give these guys a round of applause. Now, I'll watch out for anyone who's really listening carefully to the end, and then maybe you can come and get one from me. But that was just a silly illustration, wasn't it? Okay, but the point was this. God doesn't send Moses to do an impossible task on his own. Okay, he isn't giving orders to Moses and saying, see you later, and watch him go into the distance. Actually, God himself is so committed to rescuing the Israelites that he says, I will go with you. And he's the God who has got the power to rescue the Israelites. He's the God who has got the power to defeat Pharaoh. And so do you see how in these verses, guys, God is telling Moses about his complete commitment. The Israelites belong to him. He says, they're my people. And he says, I will go with you, Moses. And there's one more thing in these verses that shows God's commitment. He remembers promises. So he calls himself the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And whenever we read that about God, we have to think, hang on a minute, who were those guys? They were guys hundreds of years earlier who God made promises to. And he's remembering those promises. And one of the big promises that he made was that he would bring the Israelites into a land of their own, and a good and spacious land, a brilliant place to live. And so of course, God isn't going to leave the Israelites in Egypt. That's not their land. Because God is committed. And he always keeps his promises. He's 100% faithful. He says, I'm going to rescue my people. I am completely committed. So that's the first thing to remember about God from these verses. And here's the second thing. God says, I am utterly unique. I am utterly unique. Now back in January, so a few months ago now, Charlotte and I had our first baby. And so we'd spent ages and ages talking about names. And actually there's a few other ladies in the congregation here who are also expecting babies fairly soon. And so I'm sure names is a hot topic of conversation, thinking about names. I'm sure if you ask your parents, they might be able to say, yeah, we thought about all sorts of names for you, but we decided that one was the right one. Now I want to do a little survey. Now I don't know whether the adults are willing to join in this survey, so if everybody stands to their feet, that would be really helpful. Now, I've got a list of names in front of me, and I'm going to read them out. If you recognise the name, or if you know somebody with that name, then stay standing, okay? But if you've never heard of that name before, and adults, yeah, play along with me a little bit. If you've never heard of that name, you don't know somebody called that, then you have to sit down. Okay? So if you know the name, stay standing. If you don't know the name, sit down. So here's the first name. Stay standing if you have ever heard of someone called Jack. Emily? Harry? Sophie? James? Chloe? Okay, here's the last name. Okay? So you only stay standing if you've heard of this name. Sit down if you don't know it. And here's the name. Yahweh. So a few people have heard of him, but the most people haven't heard or haven't met somebody called Yahweh. So there's probably a Dan in your class, there might be a Jake in your class, there might be a Ted, there might be a Emily. Okay guys, everyone can sit down. Well done. Okay, there might be lots of different people in your class, but there's nobody called Yahweh. You see, Yahweh, that name, is actually God's personal name. So in the Hebrew language, which was what Exodus was written in at first, his name was Yahweh. That's what he called himself. And in our Bibles it says, I am. Let me read a couple of verses to you to remind us of what he said. So Moses said to God, here's Moses with his second big excuse. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? That's Moses' excuse. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God calls himself I am, or Yahweh. And in our English Bibles we see it's often Lord written in capital letters. But in the book of Exodus, which the adults have been looking at this term, names have been really important. And they've often had a meaning. So we've seen Moses. Moses means fished out, because he was pulled out of the River Nile. And Moses had a son called Gershom, which means away from home, because Moses had this son when he was born in the desert. You see, a person's name in the Bible is really important. It sums them up, or it tells us something really crucial and important about them. And so when Moses asks God, what's your name? It could be the most important question in the whole of Exodus. Moses is saying to God, tell me who I'm dealing with here. Who are you? And God's answer is a bit of a mind bender. People have written whole books to try and explain what God means here. But the point seems to be this, really important that you get hold of this, guys, that we understand this. God is saying, I am utterly unique. I'm radically different. I'm completely separate. There's nobody like me. You can't compare me to any other person. The only person in the universe that comes close to me is me. And in Exodus, we begin to discover what the Lord, what Yahweh, what I am is like. He's utterly unique. So for example, guys, put your hand up if you know what year you were born. Anyone know what year, not how old you are, but what year you were born? Bethan, what year were you born? 1998. Leah? 2001? Cat? 2003. Okay, hands down. Well, let me tell you, do you know God doesn't have a birthday? Because he doesn't have a beginning. He never started. He's always existed. Or put your hand up then if you've ever been to the doctor. Or if you had breakfast this morning. Or adults, perhaps you feel like you could do with a bit more sleep. Put your hands up. Yes, a few more hours sleep. Well, let me tell you guys, do you know God doesn't have any needs? He never needs to go to the doctor because he never gets sick. He never needs to eat because he's never hungry. He never needs sleep because he never ever gets tired. Or how about this? Who can tell that they have changed over the last year? Maybe you've grown taller. Maybe you've grown wider. I don't know. Or who feels like over the last year they've been learning? So maybe you've learned something at school in science or history. Or who feels like they change in how they feel or in their mood? Some days you feel really good and other days you feel a bit rubbish. You feel a bit down. Yeah? Well, let me say that again. God never, ever changes. He's always the same. And that's why he calls himself I am. I am, God says. And so as we finish, let me ask you one really big question. What's your view of God? So when you think about God, what comes into your mind? You don't have to answer, that's one just to think quietly to yourself. When you think about God, what comes into your mind? Because in this passage in Exodus, we're introduced to the one who calls himself I Am, the completely committed and the utterly unique God. And then over 1,000 years later, after this surprise meeting and this supersized mission, Jesus arrived. And Jesus actually said some really shocking things. I'm going to tell you something that he said that meant the people around him picked up stones and wanted to kill him because of what he said. Jesus said these words. He said, "Before Abraham was born," so there's that name again, the guy who lived thousands of years earlier. Jesus says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus is calling himself Yahweh, God, I am. He says that he was the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Jesus said he was the one who appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And he says that I'm completely committed and I'm utterly unique and I myself have come on a mission, but not to rescue slaves from Egypt, but to rescue sinners from judgment and from death. People like me and people like you guys and everybody here, Jesus came to rescue. And Jesus says, "I am completely committed. I have come." But do you know how he shows his extreme commitment? How he is totally committed to keep his promise and to rescue people? Jesus actually sacrificed his own life. He died to show his commitment and to win freedom. He went to the cross so that people like me and people like you, sinners who need rescuing, can be free from judgment and from death. And so just as it was God who had the power to rescue the Israelites and nobody else, so it's only Jesus who has the power to rescue me and the power to rescue the people here. Nobody else can do it. We can't do it ourselves. And so here's the big thing. Jesus is calling us today, either for the first time or perhaps to continue trusting in him. Jesus is the great I Am. He is completely committed and he is utterly unique. Why don't we take a moment semi-quiet with the creche in the background just to think over those things. So a few seconds quiet and then we'll sing our last song.